Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. The function of liturgy is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
We'd like to welcome today Dr. Makito Masaki, who is the principal of Kobe Lutheran Seminary in Kobe, Japan. Would be very interested in hearing more about the religious landscape of Japan. Can you perhaps give us a bit of a picture of religious life within Japan?
Yeah, Christianity in population-wise is the third biggest religion in Japan. The first one is maybe Shintoism, and the second one would be Buddhism, which each of them have claims that they have more than 90% of the population of Japan. But the third, Christianity, is not over with the population of a million people, which just consists less than 1%. And strangely, the number of the church is growing a little bit every year, but the number of the Christian members are decreasing a little bit each year. So that's kind of a strange thing that we can see from the statistics. And other religions, we do have many sects of Buddhism, or sects of Shintoism, and some of them are really active, even in the political landscape. But overall, mentality or religiosity among Japanese people are atheistic. There's no God, there's no truth. It's pretty postmodern. Everything is relative. And if you die, that's it. But you have to stick with the family mentality or family ties. In order for that, we make it all sorts of ceremonies to feel that we are one as a nation, as a family, and we belong to some national emperor-bound worship as a Japanese.
So ritual is very important.
Ritual is very
people.
Important. As you see in our tea ceremony or in our flower arrangements and everything, we have everything from maybe Zen Buddhism or Confucianism. We have that minimalistic beauty, and we value the minimalistic beauty very much. So simple is better, and the liturgy gives the simple lifestyle. You don't have to chat. You don't have to go around and making much noise. But you just stay and you just follow the liturgy, and that gives you the peace and the rest and comfort in your life.
And it also sounds like then duty is very important, or obligation.
We're very faithful. Each person willing to pay any cost or sacrifice himself to fulfill his vocation. If you're a teacher, you're willing to die for it. If you are a politician, you are willing to die for the purpose that is given to him. If you are a father and mother, you are devoted to raising kids. So we're very faithful and royal to our duties.
Now, you mentioned there are about a million Christians in Japan. Uh-huh. Can you explain, the landscape of denominations, and particularly how the Lutheran Church fits in the Christian world in Japan?
The Catholic has about a third of the Christian population, and maybe sects are growing, like Jehovah's Witnesses and Buddhism and others are growing, and they claim that they exceed evangelicalism or Lutheranism together in number already. And that's scary. And Lutheran Church is very, very small among them. And we have seven Lutheran Church bodies. One is kind of united during the World War II and stayed there after the World War II. So that's the mixture of many churches that has many different backgrounds from the say like a century ago. And after the World War II, six major missions from Scandinavia, Germany, America, and other countries came to Japan and started out their own synods. And so totally seven major Lutheran church bodies in Japan. And my own church is called West Japan Evangelical Lutheran Church. It has about 40 congregations in the western part of Japan, and has about 3,500 to 4,000 membership. There are three other Lutheran church bodies that has about the same numbers of churches and also the membership, and three smaller ones and one biggest one that has the longest history, and that is about three times as big. So totally about 20,000 Lutherans in Japan.
And you are principal of Kobe Lutheran Seminary. Now, what does that involve?
Norwegian Lutheran Mission, we call it NLM, came to start the churches, plant churches in Japan right after the World War II. But they started out their mission work by planting churches, of course, but raising the Japanese pastors. So they built a seminary in about 5 years after they really started out planting churches. So that was their goal, to train pastors in Japan and with a good Lutheran theology. So that is how our seminary has started 54 years ago. Since then, we managed to produce enough pastors for three Lutheran church bodies. And right now, we have about 20 students, which is not very big in number, but they are all dedicated to become pastors and workers for the Church in Christ.
So you produce pastors, or you educate pastors for other Lutheran church bodies as well?
Yes, yes, yes.
And as
not only Lutherans, but independent churches send their future pastors to us too. So about 30% of the students that we have is the people who has non-Lutheran backgrounds. And they know that we teach Lutheran theology, but they come without any knowledge of Lutheranism. By the time they graduate, they are more faithful Lutherans than other born Lutherans. So that's very interesting. They appreciate the way we read the Bible, the way we believe, and the way we worship.
Now, I also understand that your father was the speaker for Lutheran Hour in Japan and was also a mm-hmm. pastor. Can you perhaps explain to us the work that the Lutheran Hour in Japan...
Yeah, thank you. He became Christian at the age of 18 during the World War II. He converted to Lutheranism when he met a Lutheran missionary from Norway. And he came to the Bible school and he went through the seminary and he became a kind of a church planter and also the pastor of the churches that he planted. And in about 5 years in his ministry, he was called to be the teacher of the correspondence course that other Lutherans started out for the radio ministry that other Lutherans in Japan started out. He worked about 10 years as the instructor of the Bible correspondence course. He was called to be the radio pastor of a program called Light to the Heart, Lutheran Hour, Light to the Heart, Luteru Awa Kokoro ni Hikari yo. And that program drew so many people to Christ. Maybe he drew 300 new people baptized each year. And my father's policy was that through the radio, you don't have to entertain people, but you preach the gospel through the radio, regardless the listeners are. And maybe no listeners are interested in gospel to start with, but you just keep preaching the gospel so that they would, the power of the word can open the listener's heart and can bring Christ and his salvation, his gospel, to their heart. So that happened, and so many people came to Christ through the radio program in Japan. So he doesn't play around with the secular music, introducing the secular news or anything, but he just preached the gospel all through. So he's alive still, and he's at the age of 85. He handed the program to the successor, but he's still preaching the gospel through radio and on the internet in Hawaii and everywhere else.
Wonderful. The idea of preaching the gospel over the internet and radio waves resonates here.
Yes,
at Lutheran
yes, exactly.
Radio UK.
Yes, yes. So I wish my father can be on the air here and he can explain better that how God wonderfully done his ministry through the radio.
And I'm guessing your father's prayer was that you would become a pastor, as you inform me your name Makito means shepherd.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My name is Makito. Masaki, and that means a shepherd. Maki is the same word as shepherd, and To means a people or a person. So either I can be a person who take care of people as the shepherd, or I'm the one who is taken care of by the Lord, who is the shepherd. And I have one brother who is working in America at the Fort Wayne Lutheran Seminary, and his name is Naomichi. And Naomichi means prepare the way for Christ. So he is actually preparing the way for Christ every day.
So your father's prayers through the names of his children are being used by God to actually be fulfilled and to bring God's kingdom to many pastors who are in training to serve the Lord around the world.
So, yes. Yeah.
And we do give thanks to God and for your father's prayers and vision.
Yes.
Now, can I take you back to what we had chatted about a little bit earlier? You were talking about the importance of liturgy and loyalty among the Japanese people in their culture.
Mm-hmm.
We've also off-air been talking about the importance of liturgy for the Christian church. How do you see the liturgy, particularly the Lutheran church, impacting people in Japan for bringing the gospel to them, as well as people from around the world? How can the liturgy actually bring the gospel to them, as you mentioned, in a very simple, straightforward way?
Half of the Lutheran churches in Japan are not liturgical. We have the pietistic background, and we don't have any liturgy. And the other half had a liturgy. But I see the enormous potentiality that liturgy can bring the gospel in the right way to us as Japanese. Japanese people, are very, very much likes to have liturgy. And all the tea ceremony, the flower arrangement, or even the judo and the kendo, and all the dos, that means way, have a certain liturgy to follow. And you show respect to the life and to the universe and to the predecessors that has given them the opportunity to live in the liturgy. So without saying anything, but we just follow and show the obedience to the liturgy, that is the message, the life message of us as the people of Japan. There's a certain way of bowing, certain degree of bowing toward each other, certain greetings that we have to say to each other every morning when we meet. And we, even in the everyday life, we just follow the liturgy. Any set phrase or set deeds of how we carry on our life. So people appreciate, and maybe they expect every religion to have the liturgy, and they just enjoy. And we don't need any explanation or any word to add to the certain way of doing the liturgy. But I think the most important thing is that God comes to us in an unexpected way. The people cannot find God where people want God to be there. People maybe in Japan, also in other parts of the world, expect God to be the all-powerful, have everything he knows, and he has everything under control. And we just kind of expect God to be more powerful than the king and queen and the emperor and so forth, and who takes care of the whole world with the power and authority. Strangely, God doesn't come that way. Christ died for us and gave his life for us, and that was the love and the justice of God. And he comes not through the power for us to have that, obtain the salvation, but he comes through the word and sacrament and through the people who carry the word and sacrament. And the people who brings the word and sacrament comes not with the authority or the power, but with the humble servant attitude, that they come to people imploring or asking or begging people to have the reconciliation with God, who made everything possible already and ready for the people to receive the reconciliation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And liturgy can bring that kind of Christ himself, because nobody would expect the salvation would come through doing something. But this is God is doing something for us through the confession of absolution and the word and the sacrament, and that is taken all from the scripture. And Christ comes through the word, and Christ comes through the sacrament for me and for us, so that we can receive the faith, and also through the faith we can receive Christ. The word and sacrament creates faith in us so that we can receive Christ himself for us. If you don't have the liturgy, the leader of the worship can chat anything, and that destroys all the work that God has done, and also the work that Christ has done for us. And that is just an interruption of everything, and the people don't just see how God comes as in the servant attitude.
Well, within your description of the liturgy in Japanese society, it sounds like there's almost a bit of a contradiction or a tension here,
mm-hmm.
where the liturgy is very helpful,
yes.
because it's something that the Japanese can really relate to within their society and
mm-hmm.
culture.
Mm-hmm.
They like the ritual. However, it's something that can almost be a stumbling block, because they don't expect a God who comes as a servant, a God who comes imploring them to be reconciled to himself. They expect a God maybe who will order
yeah.
you about.
Yeah.
Now, how do you overcome this situation where perhaps they come expecting a God to order them, but actually it's a God who's begging them
yeah.
to believe?
Yeah, maybe I make some contradictory comment to the comment I made already, but people in Japan likes to have the liturgy or some kind of orderly, organized way of expressing things and having as a tool to have communication with others. But they all think that liturgy or the things are just a formal thing without any heart in it. And we don't expect anybody to have the real passion in doing the liturgy in the Christian church, but in other, doing the
thing. In a Buddhist religion.
In a Buddhism, yeah.
Yeah.
Like in a Buddhist ceremony of a funeral, people would go. And the Buddhist priest does the liturgy. I mean, there's a certain thing that they have to do in certain orders, and people just follow, but they don't get any message out of it, because that's the way to spend that time with the mourning and expressing each other the sorrow, and without using any daily life languages. But they don't get anything out of the liturgy, not any message or anything, so they don't know what's going on. But it's good to have ceremony like that, so that they can have some time without thinking anything else, just spend time in it. So that's how we see liturgy and the role of liturgy in our daily life. So people come to church and expect nothing out of the liturgy, but they enjoy liturgy as a beauty of the life, minimalistic. You know, the style of life. But if they come to church and they find the content of the message, which is expressed through the liturgy, if that is the life of Christ, and the Christ who comes in a servant attitude, like a servant who washed the feet of disciples the day before he went up to the cross, he is there to serve us. And through the liturgy, people realize that Christ is here serving us literally through his word of forgiveness and through his washing of a baptism and through his very body and blood to us, shed for our sins, the forgiveness of sins, remission of our sins, and also the it was broken for the forgiveness of sins. So they see the content of the ceremony, so to speak, is Christ himself, and who is willing to give us anything we need, not necessarily what we came to get there, But he is there to give us everything that we really need. So that's where law and gospel comes in. Law that just shows us how we are before the eyes of God, and for those are the reason why Christ died, to get everything on his shoulder for the sin that we are committing, and we have that sinful nature. So he had to die for us. So that's the law, how law shows us that Christ died for us, for this sin, our sinfulness. And so law shows us that we are sinners, but for that sin, Christ died. And the gospel shows us the death and resurrection of Christ is ours already. And the powerful word, which does not seem very powerful in the secular world for the people who doesn't have faith, but the word and sacrament creates faith so that we can receive the gift from God. And so people say that we have to reach God who is above. And some people say, no, we don't have to reach God from below to above in heaven, because we cannot please him enough to reach him. So some Christians say that God comes from above to us. He comes down. But I don't think that's true either. He comes from below to serve us, not to show his power, his authority, so that we have to surrender, we have to give everything to him. That's not the way that the Bible, the scriptures, are showing how God is for us. I have one interesting experience. Although my church is not really, really liturgical, I once kind of introduced the confession absolution in the first part of our weekly divine service about 20 years ago. And there was a newcomer for that Sunday who was led to the divine service. He was invited by his friend. He was there confessing his sin, and I was there to declare the forgiveness of sins by virtue of Christ. But he just came up to me right after the service, and he said, I want to be baptized. I thought myself that my sermon was so good, so that he was persuaded to be a Christian. I said, did you understand my sermon? And he said, no. But he couldn't wait until the service ends, because in the first part of the service, the confession of the sins and absolution on behalf of Christ, because Christ died for him and Christ is risen for him, that got him. He didn't expect that to happen, because he wasn't thinking that God is serving him as sending his only begotten son to us, and he let him be raised again. He didn't expect to hear that kind of message that morning, but he was struck by the message in the liturgy that God is serving me, and I'm the one who is on the receiving end, and God is willing to do anything. He has done so much that his son will be freely given to him. So he was so happy. He couldn't wait. So right after the service, he came up to me and said, I want to be baptized.
He understood sin.
Yeah.
And he understood his need for forgiveness.
And he understood that Christ already completed his salvation, and he's willing to give.
Good. Can I take you to another angle that you had talked about a little earlier, which I find very intriguing? You said there are Lutheran churches within Japan that really focus on the preaching, the proclamation of the word, but don't pay much attention to the sacraments. And then there are other churches which are very liturgical, very sacramental, but probably don't do a real great job of proclaiming the gospel. How do those two elements need to fit together, the strong, bold proclamation of the gospel, as well as a good liturgical foundation with an emphasis on the administration and the proper administration of the sacraments? Can they live apart, or must they really be together?
I don't think we cannot separate what we do from what we really believe. I think the non-liturgical party in Lutheranism gradually instructed to know the good things about having the liturgy, because I think they are allergic to the formal thing that has no content. It's very understandable if you are so used to the formal thing that has no content in it, so you just cast away the formal thing in order to maintain the good content. But good content has to produce a good form, again, because nothing can be in the content alone. It has to have the form already all the time. So as the understanding of the gospel grows, we become willing to learn from our history how this content can be clothed with the forms and the liturgy, so that the content itself can be given to the people as it is, without having any other noise or any other unnecessary thing to cover up the real content of it. But the people who had the liturgy already, they do not attract so many people because they don't have the content, I think. So the one who has the good liturgy needs to have the good content too. It's from the both side that we get to know Christ more, and the content and the form are actually one thing. And we have about 50 years of history as Lutherans after the World War II, and maybe we start realizing how to be faithful to the gospel and then make the message in the way that we convey the message should be one, harmonized as the message goes. That is one aspect of the contribution that our seminary has to give. And we think through and we pray together with many people, and we slowly make people recognize the richness of the gospel and also the richness of the liturgy.
The examination of the function of liturgy will continue next week. Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.